You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And thank you again here for joining us. Hi, Sean Callahan, HuskerOnline.com, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. We're here to break down Nebraska's 15-14 loss to Wisconsin. It was a game where Nebraska, approaching about the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter, held a 14-3 lead. The Badgers get points on three of its final four possessions to win on Saturday. They've now won nine in a row against Nebraska. This one really stings, though, because Nebraska had a lot of things go right. The Badgers were not at their best. It was arguably probably one of the more beatable teams Wisconsin's had. But give Jim Leonard a lot of credit. They never panicked. They stuck with their plan. They knew they could wear Nebraska down, he said, after the game. They kept running it, and they finished in a way that you have to finish on a cold November day like we saw here, guys, on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean lot to unpack here. I mean, I don't really hang this loss on Nebraska's defense.
No,
it didn't. Now it didn't get a late stop, and you can't. It did not get that late stop, and you can't explain that away. They got to come up and make that stop. But man, they're put in tough situations again for the fourth straight week, all game long. Wisconsin runs 70 plays. Nebraska runs 39. Double check it.
Wisconsin ran more running plays than Nebraska ran total plays.
Plays, yeah. So again, so Nebraska doesn't get the first down when it needs it late. Doesn't get a late first down. Line gets blown up on first down. Then doesn't get a late stop. I don't. You know what? I'm hearing people saying, "Oh, Nebraska's cursed. They're a voodoo doll." No, just get stops. All right, get stops and get first downs. I mean, this is not a curse. You got to get first downs when your back's against, or not when your back's against the wall, when you're in control or when you're trying to take control. You got to get first downs, and you got to get a stop late. It's not, you can't feel sorry for anybody here. It isn't a curse. It is what it is. They're just not closing out games.
To me, that's a team that once again showed that it has no idea how to win. Like just add it to the list of games Nebraska should have won and found ways to lose. And mm-hmm. It was in both elements where, like you said, the offense had the ball with just under 5 minutes left and a chance to close that game out, get a first down or two. Yeah. That thing's over.
Right.
But they didn't. They went three and out very quickly, took less than 2 minutes off the clock and gave Wisconsin the ball back with over 3 minutes left in all three timeouts. Not a good spot. Then the defense gives up a chunk play on a third down on a wheel route to a running back, a backup running back that changed the game. Longest play of the day for Wisconsin at the most critical juncture of the game. And then obviously they couldn't finish or get the stop at the goal line. And they put themselves in a no-win situation going into that wind down a point. So you just, again, I this is no different to me than any of these other losses that we go down the list for years now, that Nebraska just has this mentality to it that when it's winning time, they find one way or another to lose. And it's been a consistent pattern that until that changes, I mean, it's going to be a vicious cycle for a while.
And you guys mentioned that wind. It was a brutal north wind, a really affecting wind. I mean, it affected the game. I want to go back to the decision on the defer. So Wisconsin deferred. They got the ball in the second half. Nebraska chose to have the win behind them in the third quarter. Okay. Going back at that, do you think Nebraska should have said, we'll take the win for the fourth quarter? Because I feel like the win behind them was huge. I mean, I thought Wisconsin having the win allowed them, you know, that wheel route play doesn't happen if the wind is in front of them.
He doesn't throw the ball 27 yards downfield into that wind. I'll tell you that.
I'd just like to hear what Miggy says about that.
He did. He said that they didn't want to give Wisconsin the ball and the wind to start the third quarter. That
was my argument is Wisconsin, the way they were playing,
that makes sense.
They were going to chew a lot of clock. I wasn't ever expecting Wisconsin to air it out this game. I mean, they just wanted to run clock, and they ran clock. Nebraska scored that touchdown with Trey Palmer in the third quarter in the final minute before they lost the win. So at that point on, the only way Nebraska was going to score points was off a turnover or off a long engineered running drive, and they can't run the ball.
They can't.
You couldn't throw on that win.
No.
Wisconsin figured out how to finish a game. Nebraska shows fight. Wisconsin showed finish.
Well, Wisconsin's record in November since 2012 is 40-9, okay? Now, I don't have Nebraska's record in front of me. I figured it up the other day for a comma. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's 21-28. Okay. 21-28 or 22-28. November, Wisconsin's 40-9 since 2012. Nebraska's sub 500. Like Robin said, this has been going on for years. Yeah. Now, not just in November for Nebraska, but these teams that Nebraska is playing in this conference are built for November. Nebraska, I don't know what they're built for. I don't know what Nebraska's built for. It's clearly lost its way.
They're built for coaching changes. That's what's happened. I mean, they've had three coaching changes since they've joined the Big Ten.
Right.
Our friend Gary Sharp from 1620 had a pretty staggering tweet where he said, in the last 2 years, Nebraska's played 23 games. And 14 of those have been one possession games, and they are 1-13 in those one possession games. So that's the pattern we're talking about here, where if it is crunch time in the fourth quarter, Nebraska finds ways to lose.
Instead of players, see what happens in these games, and you see it a lot. You see other teams step up and make plays, like the wheel route. Was it Ches Malusi?
And they put him on Javon Wright.
Put him on Javon Wright. And we, you know, Wisconsin has an embattled quarterback, but he put that throw on the money. Graham Mertz stepped up and made a big play. And that guy made a good catch.
And they found the matchup.
It was Isaac Guerrero.
Isaac Guerrero. It was Isaac Guerrero. Thank you. Isaac Guerrero. But Mertz put the ball on the pretty much on the money. The kid made an over-the-shoulder catch. That's in crunch time. That's a winning play. That's how you win.
No doubt. And Nebraska doesn't make that play.
No. And then when Nebraska gets the ball and needs a first down, they get a 3-yard loss. Wisconsin blows up the play, gets a 3-yard loss. Their defense makes a play. I mean, that's how you do it. It's not luck. This isn't luck. You make your luck. And that's what Wisconsin did. Nebraska didn't do it. I can't explain that 1-13. It's incredible. I'm concerned about Nebraska because they're very good after losses now. I mean, they handle losing really well now.
Too well.
Yeah. It almost is getting to a point where we're all handling it too well.
It's a little too comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And this one was gift wrapped. I mean, this was the most.
I don't think it was gift
wrapped. Well, this was the most beatable Wisconsin team that they've played since
they were up two scores at home in the fourth quarter.
That's about as close to gift wrapped as you can get.
Finish. Finish the job.
Jim Leonard is on the ropes.
Yeah.
And if they lost this game, then they could lose to Minnesota next week. All of a sudden, Jim Leonard, you wonder like his status in Madison.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a huge game for Wisconsin. The key stat to me, Wisconsin gets 248 sack adjusted yards, which is when you take out that intentional grounding. So they averaged 4.9 yards per carry in sack adjusted rush yards in this game. The other key stat on first down, Wisconsin had 25 first down runs for an average of 5.5 yards per run. So they were in second and 4.5.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to win when it's a windy day like this and you're in second and 4.
That's Wisconsin.
They put a plan together that wasn't pretty, but they knew Nebraska mentally and physically couldn't hold up that style for four quarters.
Yeah. That was one of the things Garrett Nelson talked about. Like towards the end of the game, he says you could just feel the Badger O-line leaning on him. Like, that's a lot of snaps. 52 rushes. Mm-hmm. I guess that's with sacks too, but either way, that's a lot of time to be on the field against an offense like that, against backs like that that were running hard. Even with Braylon Allen dinged up, he wasn't running like his normal self, but Ches Malusi was running tough. And the Isaac Guerrero was running tough, and that just wears on you. And to put that much pressure on a defense that has gone through this gauntlet especially over the last four games. November. That's asking too much.
Nah, I mean,
then the flip side, the running game, your leading rusher was Casey Thompson.
Yeah.
Leading rusher was Casey and Thompson.
Purdy was leading rusher last
it's
week.
Unbelievable. They have nothing from that running game. The offensive line cannot get any push in the run game. Anthony Grant has nowhere to run. He had, 16 carries for 29 yards? I wonder how many of those 29 came after contact.
Oh, the handoff running game is virtually non-existent.
It's non-existent.
It's predictable.
It's not virtual. Like non-existent.
You know what's coming, and they stop it.
Well, now, Sean, of course, it's a handoff running game. It's predictable. So is Wisconsin.
What about reverses and jet sweeps?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can get cute, I guess, but does Wisconsin have to get cute?
Sip's got a point.
It's Wisconsin. It's predictable. You know exactly what Wisconsin's going
to
do.
It.
Yeah. I mean, the good team, Sean. I mean, come on, you cover Nebraska when you knew what they're going to do. They just did it. They didn't. When I hate to do that thing, the Osborne thing, but I do. I hate to do it. But Sean, the linemen would go up to the line and tell them what we're running. They'd say, this is what we're going to do. Stop it.
Yeah.
All right. No, I mean, of course it's predictable. What Wisconsin does is eminently predictable.
It's beat your man.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you can run some cute stuff and maybe get them off balance.
I will say they could do more of that. Yeah. Just to at least help take some of the focus off the traditional run game. I mean, gives the defense something else to think about as opposed to tackle a standard handoff or get after Casey Thompson. The creativity in the play calling is, in my opinion, been lacking, especially considering where this offense is. They could use a little spice.
A little bit.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Well, if you're just joining us, thank you for joining Husker Online. It's a post-game live show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Steve Sippel. We're breaking down Nebraska's 15-14 loss to Wisconsin. We're also going to talk coaching search here as well in that discussion. But we wanted to dedicate at least the first part of the show to the game itself because obviously this is a post-game show. Casey Thompson, him coming back today, guys, that made a difference. Trey Palmer only had four catches for 47 yards on six targets, but he had two touchdowns.
Two TDs.
I mean, Casey found Trey when it mattered in the end zone, and the last few weeks they just didn't have that. So I thought that was big to see Casey back out there, and he does handle the pressure really well.
Yeah, he handles himself well in general, and there's a big difference with him out there.
Absolutely. I mean,
They should get a win with him out there today. You're right. But, he only threw for 106. It wasn't like he lit it up, but – yeah, he manages the offense very well, and they're a different team with him.
They at least had a pulse.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, so I went back and looked it up. So you go back to when he was hurt at the end of the second quarter, late in the second quarter against Illinois. Nebraska's played 10 quarters without Casey Thompson up until this point. The combination of Chuba Purdy and Logan Smothers combined to go 25 of 55 for 208 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions. Over 10 quarters. Take Casey Thompson, throws two TDs and 100 yards in his first game against a good Wisconsin defense. Yeah. I mean, that just shows you everything. It's obviously you don't need to expand too much on the drop off between Casey and the backups, but that's glaring to where all of a sudden Casey comes back and they can actually move the football and they can score touchdowns. Yeah,
it goes back to that really interesting question is the starting quarterback for next year on this year's roster?
Casey left it to be determined.
Yeah.
And he gets his master's degree, which is another interesting nugget that he gets his master's degree in December.
Which is why he wanted to walk, because he did not walk at Texas. He had his bachelor's at Texas, chose not to walk, and kind of felt slighted by not getting that experience. So that's why he said he wanted to walk today. He said it meant nothing as far as his decision, whether he's leaving or going. He's going to wait into the offseason, see who the coach is, see the offense, and whether he's a fit.
Now, we got a super chat from Andrew Barlow. Thank you, Andrew, for your support and of the Husker Online show. But do you think Mark Whipple will be here next season?
No.
I personally hope not, but what's your thoughts?
No.
I mean,
even if it was Mickey, you wouldn't be back.
I mean,
Why would he be back next year?
There's zero chance.
Yeah.
Like, and this comment's been made on here by a few different people. Like, you can argue Whipple's been as big of a disaster as Diaco, just in his own way on the offense. Like, I just think he has not been a fit.
Now, I want to think about that, Sean. What did Diaco have on defense? What? Now, I'm not defending Whipple to a high degree, but he's trying to play calls without an offensive line that can run block. Okay, now, good luck with that. Okay, it's easy to criticize him until you're in his shoes, and you got to call a game without a line. We just established, Sean, you can't hand the ball off in a normal way and get any yards. Okay, well, how much of that playbook does that take away right there? What do you do? Your play action game's gone. I mean, okay, so I ask you, what do you do?
The one thing where Scott, and this is coming from someone that's worked on the staff, they said Frost was a lot better at junking it up. Yeah. He just knew in a situation where they were outmanned, or he knew how to formation or kind of junk it up was the word they used. And that Whipple is a proud pro guy. Mm-hmm. Guys like Whipple don't play that way. Frost kind of knew how to muddy it up a little bit to create yards.
He did.
And I think that's the difference.
I guess, but it wasn't like Frost was having enormous success. I mean,
Whipple's offense was operating fairly well early in the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were scoring points. Mm-hmm. And then Casey gets hurt, and all of a sudden, everything shuts down. So I would say, without Casey, yes, it was Diaco level bad because they could barely even get past midfield. But I mean, Bob Diaco was just an utter disaster, and so like set records for futility.
Right, Diaco had a little more to work with too, didn't he? Did you say that?
I don't know. I mean, I would say that like Alex Davis as your primary pass rusher was one of the worst primary pass.
Alex Davis in coverage.
I mean, they were really limited as far as rushing the quarterback.
Yeah, they were.
Like, they had like alarmingly low sack numbers mm-hmm. under Bob Diaco because he played an analytical defense where they all put everybody back. But we got another super chat from Cole, and it kind of breaks up into two parts here. This fan base is about done if the hire doesn't excite the fan base and the next coach gets off to a slow start. The sellout streak is done for. That's from Cole. Now, I will counter this. I think the sellout streak is going to be fine.
Because
number one, the new coach next year, they'll get that will work. But then number two, after the season's over, they're probably going to tear out the south end zone.
Less tickets to sell.
So like they're going to cut out a big swath of tickets.
That'll solve the problem.
And then by the time it's all done, everyone's going to want to sit back in the south end zone because it's going to be a sweet sports bar with luxury amenities that aren't in the stadium right mm-hmm. now. But yeah, in the current state, I don't disagree. I mean, because they've held on. I mean, it was a big Dr. Chatters weekend this weekend with the big red carpet weekend. I mean, they had there were a lot of groups of kids that were in there, which is cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of that, uh-huh. but they've kept the sellout streak alive very creatively.
They have. So, I temper the conversation about the fan base being initially impressed or whatever the initial reactions the head coach.
Okay.
What happens is if that coach comes in, they start winning, doesn't matter. Like it's really just the product on the field is going to ultimately determine. And people, when it comes down to fall camp, they're going to give the benefit of the doubt. And it will be a matter of if these failures continue for the sellout streak, like people stop showing up. I'm not necessarily worried about the initial reaction. I'm talking about like when we actually see the product
the reaction
and if
coach.
Anything is different.
Yeah. I don't know.
With that conversation.
And I get what you're saying. So what we're talking about is, to be clear, does Trev need to make a splashy hire that excites the fan base? Should that matter? Or just get
to
the right
extent,
guy?
But I don't think it's going to be the hire's announced, all of a sudden sellout streak is over. Like, no, I'm not ready to jump there yet.
You got
to
get the right guy. Now, it is a downtrodden fan base, I think. I mean, I don't speak for the people. I don't know. I mean, if I were a fan, this would get really old. I mean, or if it's probably already old, I suppose.
Well,
it's old
for a lot of people. There's about 55,000-60,000 season ticket holders when you break down the stadium.
Okay.
And I think there's probably 35,000-40,000 people that would just show up no matter what. Like they're that supportive.
Yeah.
And it's
so 20.
There's probably 15 or 20 that are just hanging on. Yeah. It's kind of like a political election. You have to kind of like win the win the undecided voters. Yeah. That's the group. And Cole has another super chat comment on that. He's a student at UNL. And he goes, as a student, he goes, I'd rather just basically sit in someone's backyard. And if they make a bad hire, I'd rather be sitting in the Russian bottoms drinking beer, kind of watching on a TV. And I think that's what you fight, because there's a lot of competition to get people into that stadium. And they recognize it. That's why they're going to do renovations to the stadium.
Uh-huh. Yeah, losing is, it causes a lot of problems. A lot. I mean, very obvious problems like ticket sales and sales in general. But the concern I have more is just the culture of losing and all that and what goes into that. And we're seeing some of that already. I think a lot of media fan base has become very accepting of Nebraska not having players that put you over the top. We try to say, oh, they have enough talent. Sip. They have enough talent over there. It's not a talent discussion. Yeah, it is. It's a talent discussion. Just say it. They don't have a talented offensive line. Mm. They don't have big time playmakers. Enough of them. They don't. I don't want to hear it. Why do people continually come to me with Sip? It's not a talent issue. Yeah, it's a talent issue. It's a coaching issue. It's a talent issue. It's a culture issue. It's a weight room issue. It's a lot of issues that go into this level of losing. And this level of losing, there's a lot of problems. I mean, there's a lot. There's not just a few. Yeah. And I don't want to hear close either. Oh, Sip, they're close.
They're not.
Ah, come on. What the hell does that even mean? I mean, what does close mean when you go back-to-back 3-9s? I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, Wisconsin wasn't worried one bit. 14-3.
Didn't seem like it.
Never panicked.
And the thing Mickey said today I thought was interesting about, instead of kind of saying we need to recruit and kind of throw the players under the bus like the week before, he just said we need better competitive depth.
Yeah. Instead of recruiting, it's competitive depth.
It's a euphemism. It's a very, very palatable euphemism.
That way people won't say, or parents won't get upset with that.
All right. Super chat's lighting up today, guys. Thank you, by the way. Yeah, absolutely. We got more super chat here from JL. Is there a chance that Urban Meyer is an option for the next head coach?
I don't know. I would like to think so. I mean, what I've said all along is that I would hope Trev would make him say no. And I like the idea of pairing Urban Meyer and Mickey Joseph. I just think that's a formula that would give you a great chance. Mm-hmm. I think it's very pie in the sky, though. I've heard nothing. I've heard nothing to suggest that that's something that could happen.
Like my analogy, does Urban Meyer want to take on the job to like clean out your grandma's basement?
I mean, a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And then when you're
not moving ready,
it's dirty work. You're going to be dirty.
I mean, you're going to have to tear out the floors. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work.
There's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of hard lifting. You're going to be sore for a couple days. I don't know.
I mean, at his state, like he can be selective.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, Arizona State or something.
Could he would just pay somebody to do it.
All right.
I'm also not a good doing analogy.
Well,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
More super chat from Andrew hitting us up here. Wants an update on Thomas Fedoni. I thought he was going to play this year. Well, Andrew, they're really cautious with Thomas. I think he probably could play. It's very close, but I think they've made the decision that this young man cannot afford a third setback. He's had two knee setbacks. I often wonder, though, if Coach Frost was here, would he be playing right now? Would the decision, because the pressure on Frost right now would be immense. I think now, though, everyone's like, hey, we're just going to sit back and let Thomas rehab. I think Thomas would play, though, if they said he could play.
Oh, and he would be jumping at the chance. I mean, I know that he was very vocal on Twitter and all that stuff about his wanting to get back out there, but I think they're doing the right thing. I mean, two significant knee injuries in that short amount of time. I mean, you got to make sure that you're healthy for a kid like that, not just for his football future, but I mean, just his long-term health. Like you gotta make sure he's ready to go before you throw him out there in what would be his first real collegiate action. So I think the smart move is just just take this year off, give him a full offseason to continue to rehab, recover, and make sure that he's ready to go for 2023.
Got another super chat here from Cole. Sip, you can answer this one. Do you think Trev has been told no a lot?
I don't think so. No. I don't. There's no evidence to suggest that. Information's limited. If you look at Auburn and Nebraska, the situations are very similar. No information's coming out at Auburn. The information that comes out at Nebraska is from the other side. It's not coming from the Nebraska side. There's no leaks. It's coming from, well, there's been maybe a few leaks, but it's largely coming from, you know, the candidate side.
Agents.
Other coaches, coaches in the industry that have agents that talk to them, that sort of thing. But anyway, I don't have any evidence that suggests Trev's being told no multiple times. I think that would be people panicking for nothing.
You don't really pursue a guy to a point where you know they're going to say no. Like, you kind of know they're going to say yes before you move paper forward. You know, like,
right.
You don't like get to the altar and then have them say no at the altar. Right. Now, that's happened before at Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. Yes, it has. It's happened multiple times after the 2003 season.
Steve times. Peterson was in the church ready to have the wedding a couple times, and it you know, that was nasty.
Boy, he's got him today. Sean's zoned up.
More super chat. And I'm going to put a super chat challenge out there. Somebody will put in $20 and Sip will tell you who he thinks he's going to be the coach. I'm just kidding.
It's like the piano bar. It's like, I'll play your song if you give
me. Yeah. I don't know that song.
Lance Balkus.
Lance Balkus. Hello, Lance. I know.
Kleiman. Is that Lance from Holy Ghost?
No. No, it's Lance from Lincoln.
Lance wants to know, Kleiman or Leipold, who is more likely? Mm. Leipold.
Okay. 50-50. I'm not prepared to say that.
Well, Kleiman's going to coach in the Big 12 championship.
Yes, he is.
Long as he beats Leipold next weekend.
And then that, if it is Kleiman, it would delay
a week.
You know what? You'd start getting an idea of who it might be if that's what happens, right? In fact, it would become almost clear, I think.
Speaking of which, have you seen what's happening to Lance now?
Yeah.
48-14. That's 10 minutes still left. That's in the against fourth quarter.
Texas.
Yeah, it's trouble.
Is it in Lawrence or in Austin?
I think it's in Lawrence.
Well, remember, Lance beat them last year.
Yeah, he beat them in Austin last year. Yeah. Kleiman or Leipold, I would just say this. I think those guys are good examples of guys that are on the radar. And where it goes from there, it's very difficult to predict. You know, we've said Monk, and we think Monk. I mean, I'm hearing today that Monken is on the radar. And Football Scoop had him on the radar. Campbell, I think, might still be on the radar. Matt Campbell. These are the guys.
DeBoer's a wild card, I'd say.
You like DeBoer, and he might be a wild card. There could be coaches that nobody's talking
Jeff
about.
Jeff Traylor,
UTSA. Wild card. Yeah. 27-9 at UTSA.
And one today.
28-9 at UTSA. Yeah. What would the fans think if Jeff Traylor were the...
Well, Jeff Traylor was named one of the top recruiters in college football. He's a great recruiter.
Mm-hmm. He was a Big 12 recruiter of the year a few years ago. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good distinction.
He will be an SEC head coach or a Texas Power 5 head coach at some point.
I just wonder what Nebraska fans would do with that, though.
Is he culturally a fit?
He's a Texas guy. He coached at Gilmore High School in Texas for 15 years. He's my age. He started he came up through the Texas high school ranks. He was at Gilmer High School for 15 years. Got his big break at Texas. I don't know the Texas head. Oh, it was Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong gave him his big break at Texas. And he kind of parlayed. And it was 1 year, and I think Strong probably got fired. And he went to SMU. Then, you know, landed a head coaching job at UTSA and has done fabulous. 28-9, first-time head coach at the college level, head coach in high school at Texas. So he's a Texas guy. I don't know. I mean, why not? You could probably think of some reasons why.
I mean, I think cultural in the style.
Culturally.
Like this league, you've got to build a roster to play in games like we saw today.
Right. So you're talking, yeah, I see.
That's why Kleiman, Lance,
not Baylor versus Texas Tech.
DeBoer.
Right.
This is not about
good point, Rob.
Looking pretty in your good summer point. Shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a freaking
right.
heavy league. Jeans and Carhartt jacket league. I mean, this is
it is
your overalls.
I mean, work boots. I mean, you looked in that crowd. I looked in the crowd today, and I mean, it was freaking. I mean, you had to be a man.
Yeah, you had to be a dude. And I did see a lot of Carhartts.
I mean, just tough lady. Or yeah. And this is not. And that's why Kleiman, North Dakota State. Yeah. I mean, DeBoer,
Lance,
South Dakota, Lance.
Lance has that. He has that way about him. But you're
it
right.
It don't matter how fast you run, how far you throw. When it's blowing 30 out of the north and it's freezing like that, you just got to get up and freaking fight somebody.
Yeah, it's
I mean, it's a different brand.
It's blocking and tackling.
Yeah,
it's blocking and tackling. That's what football is.
Yeah. Football 101.
Sorry, I got a little fired up.
No, it's good. And your analogies are on point tonight, Sean. Good job.
Drinking the old silver.
I think the Coors Light's
all you can do at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a comment from Cole in the super chat.
We got a few more super chats.
Cole says Monken would piss this fan base off. Please no. And I'm kind of getting that, guys. Like if Monken was named the coach. This feels like a Greg Schiano to Tennessee announcement where people would be really upset about it. I mean,
well, how easy.
I'm not saying me. I'm saying the loud vocal internet mob would lose it.
Yeah. I mean, you could like even with trailer, like I think you could at least find enough positives with that. The fact that he is this hot shot up and coming young coach, the Texas ties, all this stuff. But with Monken, man, like I'm with him. It doesn't do anything for me. It would not excite me whatsoever.
I keep saying about Monken, and you tell me if it's unfair. What I say about Monken is Nebraska doesn't need a cute little story. No. That's not what this is. You need people that can take down Harbaugh and take down Ohio State. And you know, people are gonna say, "Well, Sipple, come on, is that Leipold? Why do you think Leipold gives you a better chance? Kleiman gives you a better chance." Guys who have steered the big ships. I mean, Monken's a tough sell. And I really like your point about the UTSA coach. He has a good resume, but you're right. I mean, Texas. I mean,
this is not a pretty tank top.
No, this is Pennsylvania. This is the Eastern Seaboard. This is the Upper Midwest. This is badass November football. Rough. I mean, it's. That's what this is.
How would Texas San Antonio played in a game out here today?
I guess not all that. Well, they do run it well, I will say.
They play in the Alamo Dome.
Yeah. We're not talking about UTSA playing in like, the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Giving a team ready to play.
Yeah, I'd say Jeff Traylor you've talked me off of.
I think he's a good candidate. Good
guy. Yeah, stay in the South, though.
At least DeBoer, when you look at a guy like DeBoer, mm-hmm. You know, he's from small town South Dakota. He was in Sioux Falls for like 15 years. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his style would translate.
See, Leipold understands it, too. He's a Wisconsin native. He's worked at both Nebraska and Wisconsin. He understands what it takes in this league. He coached at Buffalo. You know, I mean, he knows. Kleiman, I'm always struck by how physical Kansas State is. I mean, they look like a Big Ten team. You know, I don't know about look, but they play like a Big Ten team.
They play a brand of physicality that is rare in the Big 12.
Yeah.
The ball and they play tough defense.
They really hammer.
That's why they win.
Well, think about his offensive line coach at North Dakota State. Kirk Ferentz hired him to be the O-line coach at Iowa. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, if Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz hired you to be the O-line coach for them, you know, this is 5-6 years ago. That tells you, like, you know, he they're physical because Iowa's not hiring a bad line coach.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Got a few more super chat comments here. K NECA, all those 4-star linemen bust. Why are they so bad? I would say because they're playing them too early in their careers. I think if you could properly, I mean, perfect example, look at Ethan Piper and Trent Hickson. They started and kind of were not ready. They've been benched for a couple years. They're much better players now that they've kind of grown and matured where, mm-hmm. you know, guys like Corcoran, they barely have had time to learn their way around town before they had to start playing.
And they get thrown right into the fire, and it's out of necessity because they've had so many misses and guys that don't pan out. And I have said and will continue to say the lack of offensive line development. I mean, they're getting high profile players, Bryce Benhart, Turner Corcoran, you know, go down the list. Those guys
Who else are we talking about? Is it there's some
Nick Gates.
Prohaska,
who's Prohaska. The guy?
Turner Corcoran and Bryce Benhart.
The kid that's at all San Diego stars. Right now.
Are you talking about Trent
Hymus?
Oh, Hymus.
Yeah, Hymus, so I mean, like, you just go down the list of these like four-star nationally recruited offensive linemen that are supposed to be like lockdown left tackles, you know, feature pieces of the line that just either level out or don't get any better. Or sometimes you can make the case that they regress over the course of their career. Nick Gates was all Big Ten freshman of the year, or all freshman team, all Big Ten. And remember how his career ended? Just wasn't good. So, I mean, like, that's regression in my mind. And that happens far too often. I think I'm with you, Sean. I think a lot of times because of Nebraska's need for immediate impact linemen, they force these kids into the spotlight when they're not ready. When you think about, you look at what Iowa does, what Wisconsin does, they groom those linemen. They're in the program 2, 3, 4 years before they see the field. Okay. And by the time they are actually starters, they are Big Ten ready offensive.
Well, Mickey touched on it today. There's something you got to add to this conversation. Depth. Yeah. Mickey, see, you know why Wisconsin can do that? Why they can have guys wait 2, 3, 4 years?
Competitive depth.
They have other guys.
That's the thing. Out of necessity, right. Nebraska's young, right. high-profile recruits yes. are getting thrown in before they're ready. And right. I think that throws off their whole trajectory.
Right. I mean, the other thing to add to that is, see, now I would take issue a little bit with saying that Nebraska's recruited all these high-profile players. They've recruited a few. I mean, but they have not recruited well up
front.
Greg
Austin didn't bring a lot of guys here.
No, they have not recruited well up front.
Well,
that's it.
And Tony Tuioti didn't bring a lot of guys
here.
They did
not recruit up front on defense either. And we've said, it's not like we haven't said that. And we've laid it on hard on Greg Austin and somewhat on Tony Tuioti. But yeah, no, they don't have enough depth. So they got to throw those guys in there.
All right, let's check the comments here. Got another super chat here from Lance Balkus. He said, Leipold's defensive coordinator is a tough sell. DeBoer has a massive buyout. And, you know,
what's DeBoer's buyout? You wrote it the other day.
12.
Okay.
So Frost's buyout's 12.5. DeBoer's buyout at Washington is 12. And that is tough because, you know, Trev jumped the gun to fire Frost when he did. That's an extra $5 million that Trev paid there to do that.
Yeah.
And now you got another 12. I mean, I just have a hard time. I don't know. I mean, that's a lot there.
The people are going to wonder what the situation is with Rule. The best I can tell, and this is from a good source yesterday, is that is all but over. I mean, it's all these situations can be fluid. It happens quite a bit, actually, that a guy that the school and a coach kind of separate, but then it can come back. I mean, Nebraska could circle back to him. Maybe I don't see it happening. I don't think it will. It's probably still fluid.
A&M too.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Yep. What a mess.
Matt Rule, A&M is kind of a scenario.
Well, I think Rule might want to wait. See the, what they're talking about in the agent world is okay. West Virginia is not open, but it will open. Neil Brown will be out. Jimbo is a Clarksburg, West Virginia native. Now that might be a nice landing spot for Jimbo, and then that he could, you know, West Virginia could offset some of that $95 million, not much of it, but some of it that Texas A&M would owe Jimbo. So maybe that's what's going on there.
What about
when you saw the crowd at A&M today? That was stunning.
That's unbelievable.
That's stunning. That's stunning.
I mean, that was like a practice going on crowd.
That was. That is a fair weather fan base, man. That is a bad look for Texas A&M. If you haven't seen it, if our listeners haven't seen it, look at the third quarter.
Yeah, there are a lot of tweets from the aerial looking at that stadium.
See if you can find that.
You got to fire him. You know what? I think you got to fire him.
That's a lot of money, Sid.
There's a lot of oil
contract.
Down there.
All right.
I think Trey's trying to pull that up.
I'm sure they can.
But here it is. Trey found it. You're the man, Trey. Look at that crowd, guys. That is Texas A&M in-game third quarter crowd.
Look at that.
And that place is usually full. I mean, keep that in perspective. Like they turn out normally.
See, you know what that is? You know what that is? That's money lost, man. They're okay. Now it gets to a point where that $95 million versus the money you're losing by people not showing up tends to offset itself. No, I get it. It's a lot of those tickets are paid for, but those people aren't coming to the stadium and buying anything. You're losing a ton
of
money.
Hotels, parking.
Yeah, you're losing a ton of money there.
I know.
No, but just the school's losing money. I mean, So yeah, no, there. I think I don't think Jimbo will survive. That's what I don't think he'll survive.
Jake Polk comments that it was raining in 38 degrees at A&M. Well, okay. It was what 30 mile an hour wind gusts and 15 degrees here, and Nebraska still turned out.
Yeah,
so
I had my head uncovered for post game TV, and I mean it was brutal. Like I had to put my stocking cap on immediately. I mean it was freaking terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. It's rough.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
J-All just says, we need short, fat, in the super chat, we need short, fat O-line guys with good balance, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
get asked this question a lot. Like, why doesn't Nebraska just go back to the option and do what they do? And I think the difference is in this league, it's a NFL developmental league on the lines, especially O-line, D-line. And you can't play in this league for 12 weeks with a line that's not tooled to go up against that type of line for 12 weeks. I mean, it's tough. Like, this is different than the Big 8 and the Big 12. You cannot.
Casey says that. You hear like, Casey?
This is not a gimmicky league. It's a pro development league on the line of scrimmage, period.
Yeah, Casey said that at the podium today, that the Big 12 is a lot different. It's a lot different world. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to run the ball. And Mickey said that this week, too. I mean, Mickey talked about how the SEC, they play the game. They use all of the field, every inch of the field. In the Big 10, you're playing really in the middle of the field most of the time. So, it's bruising.
Thank you for the super chat, by the way. Steve Sipple will sing song requests for the right amount of super chat.
You don't want that.
We don't.
I don't know. I got a good voice.
Somebody commented, though, Jason Howell, about Jamie Chadwell. Don't you think his offense could work in the Big Ten? Maybe. I mean,
Jamie Chadwell, that's one of those names that, you know, that would come out of sort of left field, if that's it.
Joe Moglia tie there.
Yeah, Joe Moglia tie. Chadwell does have that sort of offense. He'll run the quarterback a lot. I think I will say this about Chadwell. I think the fans would like his offense. Again, though, I mean, coming from Coastal Carolina, you're coming from another world. I mean, you're coming from a field that's literally turquoise. I mean, it looks gimmicky. I don't know.
It's a shorts and tank top.
Yeah, it is.
This is, I mean, we were in hunting gear and Carhartt. I mean, you saw Larry Jacobson, the Outland guy. So, I mean, he was wearing like his duck hunting gear on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not a pretty day to play football.
No. That's why I think like you have to know the region, not necessarily just the Big Ten, but I mean, you got to know what it's like to coach high level football when the elements are working every bit against you
every
step of the way. Yeah. Like, you know, 38 and rainy in Texas. I get it. That's cold and wet, but like, that's different than like cutting winds blowing at you and literally knocking down 35 yard field goal attempts from even crossing the crossbar. Like, it's a different game in November in the Big Ten than it is at any other Power Five conference. Yeah, you have to be prepared for that. And not just what style of offense you run, but just your mentality of how you're grooming your program, how you're able to recruit in the trenches, and the way that you're able to adjust to those elements with the way you call games, with the way you manage games.
Mm-hmm. And you find players with a suitable mentality. I don't think we can emphasize November, the importance of November enough, because if you're going to get to where you want as a program, you're going to have to win in November. Iowa's recent record in November is incredible.
13 in a row?
Yeah, I think they've won 13 games in a row in November. Now think about that. Iowa's won 13 in a row in November.
In the last 10 years, Nebraska's won 13 games in November combined.
Say that again? Last 10 years?
Yeah.
Check out the orange one.
Oh, boy. We got a big one here, Jane. I'll do it. Sip. Who will be the next head coach, and will he be wearing an ugly visor? Gun to your head. Who's the next head coach? Just your 5:45 on a Saturday night in late November. Who's your money?
I think that coach will come out of Kansas. That's what I think.
One of the two Kansas. Yeah. All right. James, we really appreciate James gave you 20 James. Bucks to thank get that. You,
I think that coach will come out of Kansas. That's my guess. It's just a guess.
So there's a common question on our board about the tokens. How are you distributing your 100 tokens between Lance Leipold and Chris Kleiman?
I'd probably put 55 on Kleiman.
Over.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Lance. 55.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking sort of, I'm just using common sense here. I mean, Kleiman, his style fits better than Lance's. Now, Lance, I think, could adjust, move out of the Big 12 and tweak his system, his approach to where it would fit the Big 10. But, right, Kleiman has it. I mean, Kleiman has it in place. And I think Kleiman, I think people would embrace Kleiman here. I mean, that guy is, he's no nonsense. Sean, you've talked about this. He wouldn't be a glad hander. He wouldn't be booster friendly. He wouldn't do all that crap.
Like, they had a Cat Backers tour deal this summer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he spoke at it even. Yeah. He kind of.
Now, can that work here?
I don't know. Callahan got roasted for not wanting to do that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that was,
and they accept that down ago, there. But I mean, they, you know, Kansas State fans are great fans, but like, they're, it's not like Nebraska, you know, it's, you know, I think they're not interested in who the nickel corner is down here. We're here. Right. It's like,
yeah, we're very interested.
Not only that, we want to know who the dime guy is and yeah. who the backups are and who the freshmen are that could play more than four games. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just a different level of intensity on mm-hmm. on the team. And, you know, North Dakota State was like that though. I know North Dakota State was a really intense fan base too. My friend that coached there said it's a lot like Nebraska mm-hmm. where the fans get on you.
Well, I'm sure it was because they were winning at such a high level. And man, the interest, think about the interest here with Nebraska losing. Just think of it this way. What if Nebraska won three straight national titles? I mean, we could do one of these three times a day. I mean, that's probably all we would do.
You'd be getting a lot of super chat.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of super chats.
Cole had one more. I want to get his super chat in about Ibrahim. Just said Ibrahim's running all over Iowa. The game
and
is still
tied. And
he
just fumbled.
They just fumbled. But Iowa's hanging in there. Sam Laporta got hurt in that game, too.
Ooh, he did. Big. That's their best offensive player.
Absolutely.
That's Laporta. That Laporta's Iowa's best offensive player.
He's an NFL guy. Yeah. Another one.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big injury.
Yeah, so we'll see how long he's out, but I know he did leave the game
that's a big
with
one.
An injury. And so as we speak, 10-10, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter,
oof.
Iowa ball.
All right, well, thank you again for joining us here. We're in our final stage here of the Husker Online postgame show. Nebraska falls 15-14 on senior day to Wisconsin. Now we kind of just wait. I mean, we got Black Friday game. High school state championship games in the stadium Monday, Tuesday. We're going to hear from Mickey Joseph and players. There's only one day of media access this week. No coordinators, just Mickey Joseph, and my guess is three or four players on Tuesday. Then we go out to Iowa City. So it's a abbreviated week of access to the program, and it's probably smart.
That's fine.
What more
is there to say at this
point? Yeah, I mean,
there's not much more to say.
I think we're at this point, and it doesn't look like we'll have an announcement until after Iowa.
Doesn't look like it. It really doesn't. I'd be surprised. I don't want to say for sure, but it doesn't look like it.
And our plan right now is we're going to cover the game Friday, the three of us. And that could always change, but I think ideally we're going to get together on Saturday and do one of these shows. We're not going to do a post-game show from Iowa. We're going to get back on Friday night, and we'll reconvene here Saturday, and we'll kind of do a set the stage for what's next show right. on Saturday.
Okay.
Because the post game reaction doesn't really matter a whole lot.
No.
Unless they blow them out or win. But either way, the real story is what happens next.
Yeah. And my thought is we need to get here. We need to get back here.
I agree.
Because I've covered enough Saturdays after Thanksgiving, unfortunately, since 2003. The Saturday after Thanksgiving in Nebraska, unfortunately, is a very, very busy day.
You don't know, like, for instance, if it's climbing, there ain't gonna be any announcements.
No,
there isn't going to be any announcements. I don't know, we'll have to see what's going. We'll have a better feel for it as the week goes. I'm sure
Minnesota gets the stop. We're gonna get the ball back with 4 minutes left.
JJ chimed in the super chat, why not Tom Herman? I don't see him as a fit.
Nope, I don't either.
I mean, he's
it's not a bad name.
Texas,
yeah, he didn't have a bad record at Texas. His record at Texas was okay. It was. Okay.
okay.
Boy, Zach Smith, though, Zach Smith really went after Herman and said a lot of things about
him. Couldn't. I don't think Herman would be a fit here.
That's
at all.
Not a fit with this AD, I don't think.
It's not. Sean, that's the best way to put it.
And I'm that's not going to get into some of the things that Zach Smith threw out there because it's not.
That's not a fit with Nebraska's AD. That's to leave it at that.
Let's just leave it at that. Okay. We got another super chat from Kane Neca. Dr. Tom put a lot of O-line in the NFL playing option, kind of combating my style. Now, the difference is they didn't put out NFL tackles. Even Osborne's all best interior tackles were guards in the NFL. Zach Wiegert, Outland Award winner, was a guard in the NFL. Yeah. Robin and I did this Mount Rushmore, and we did position by position, guard, center, tackle, every position. And we had a hell of a time finding like true tackles.
Oh, really?
Did we do Bob Brown as a tackle on offense, or did we do him on defense?
I can't remember. I think we did him on defense.
And we settled on this one guy that ended up being a tackle in the 70s or 80s. And I remember, didn't he email you and said, you changed my life by like putting me on that list?
I wonder who that was.
Mount Rushmore. It was our Mount. Oh, wow. This punt. The wind is crazy in this game right now. We're watching Iowa, Minnesota in the background.
Yeah, So with Bob Brown, we had him as offensive guard.
Who'd you have as tackle? Who's the mystery tackle?
Okay, well,
whose life was changed?
I'll tell you in seconds once this loads. All right, so we had Ed Weir from 1923 to 1925, Forrest Baim from 1938 to 1940, Bob Newton from 69 to 70, and then Wiegert from 91.
Bob Newton.
91 and 94.
I think he hits your Facebook messages and
other ones that potentially were included with Doug Glazer from the late 80s, Rob Zaska, obviously, and then Carl Nix.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 Whiskey declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So what I'm saying to you, Kay Necka, is Tom Osborne didn't put a lot of tackles in the NFL.
Yeah, he had linemen.
He put centers and guards, but tackles in this league, premium position. Defensive ends, edge rushers in this league, premium positions. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin had a couple of those guys today.
Yeah, one of them got, Herbig, their pass rusher, 11 and a half sacks, got ejected.
Twice
ejected. I don't know how that happens. But and then, so he's out the first half against Minnesota next week.
There's Wiegert.
And then with Braylon Allen dinged up.
Yeah.
Look at that picture.
If Minnesota could finish the job.
Oh, there's that C.
Look out.
Look at that picture of Wiegert.
Beast.
I mean, Wiegert's a dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of the best. He's one of the top five to ever do it here.
And, I mean, he's the kind of – you wouldn't mess with that guy today.
He's still a monster.
Yeah. I mean, he's intimidating when you see him today. Like, yeah. I'm afraid to say hi to Zach Wiegert.
Don't be afraid. He's
he's not approachable. Like
he's approachable. He is approachable.
He's a tough dude, though.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Like, you don't want to mess with Zach Wiegert. All right, next question in the Super Chat was from J-All. What about Kyle Whittingham?
We haven't heard much of his name.
He's older too, right?
62. We've heard a little bit. We've heard his name a little bit. When they hired Mike Riley, I was on the phone with a source in my office the day that Riley got hired. I was talking to somebody who was insisting that they're going to hire Whittingham. And then I got this loud knock on my door from Brian Christopherson saying they hired Riley. But I always remember because I was sitting there thinking, man, are they going to hire Whittingham? And then the knock came. Now, Whittingham, his name really hasn't materialized in speculation very much.
The uncertainty of the Pac-12.
Yeah. What about it?
That helps.
Yeah.
I think any guy, that's why DeBoer, because, you know, with UCLA and USC leaving, mm-hmm. what is the future of that league?
Oh, I know. No doubt about it. It helps Nebraska's chances if in fact, they are looking at someone like Whittingham. Whittingham would be. I mean, that'd be a great hire, I think. Now, the age thing gives you a little 62. Pause.
People are like leery of Lance, and he's 58.
58. He's a young 58.
Yeah.
He is. He's fit, and he's, I mean, he doesn't seem 58.
So you got to wonder, like, is that your long-term solution, or are you going to have a...
Well, I think Lance could go till he's 70.
Yeah.
You know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And in today's coaching world, if you make it past 5 years, it's a success.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality.
Hey, listen, it's a tense time because there's a lot. I mean, we just don't. It's a tense time for us. It's a tense time for a lot of media because it just doesn't seem like people have much information, right?
Lance says in the chat here, this will be the longest 8 days of my life.
Same.
Yeah. And it may be longer than 8 days, Lance. That's the
scary It may be. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it could go into, you know, into that first part and of I December. Think
we might do, I mean, if it works, we'll do more of these after the season's over. Like during, I mean, like we can do more of these shows to kind of set the stage and promote. And by the way, if you're not on Husker Online, make sure you get on Husker Online. Steve Sipple's postgame column, Robin's five things, my final take, all the videos, all the reports are up from the game today. Some great scoop on the coaching search, our tunnel talk. I can promise you, if you read our Tunnel Talk, which is a members exclusive feature, is loaded with info, stuff that you will see nowhere else about the Nebraska coaching search, as well as Sipple's latest post from last night about Matt Rhule. So premium exclusive information, $25 gets you from now until the start of next football season on HuskerOnline.com. Gentlemen.
There you go.
What did you write, Sip? What was your take today?
You can't use the word brutal enough to describe that loss. My dad tells me don't use the word brutal. It's overused. You've said it about 10 times today, Sean.
Brutal.
You can't use it enough today.
It's accurate, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We write the same stuff over and over, you know.
Rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
What about Dan Mullen? That's a guy that just got thrown in the chat. Hmm.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I don't know. No. I'd say no.
The Florida thing really hurt his star.
Yeah.
Iowa interception.
Minnesota was driving.
Let's get off this thing so people can watch that game.
Oh, my gosh. Pick right. six. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, let's do this.
Wow.
Iowa going to Iowa.
Yep. Iowa doing what Iowa does. Pick Is there six. Any flags? Any flags?
17-10 with 2:06 left.
And it's cold there today.
That's probably. Jack Campbell. Okay, now hold on. There's one thing to add. That was Jack Campbell.
All-American.
That's an All-American level player that just did what?
All-American what do you do? Play.
You put him over the top.
Won the game.
Right. Now, Jack Campbell's probably, I mean, one of the top three or four defenders in the Big Ten. Could be the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. People say, Sip, come on, how do you get over the top? That's how you get over the top. Mo Ibrahim, against Nebraska, what happened? Mo Ibrahim kind of took the game over, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have the best player on the field, your chances to win.
Look at Amir Abdullah against McNeese State.
Yep.
Or Northwestern. They don't get that. Hail Mary if he doesn't stretch for that first down.
Absolutely.
Ernest Hausman could be a guy like that.
Sometimes. Ernest could be that.
I wrote about him in my five things and Malcolm Hartsog too. Like those he's going to try to find some sort of silver lining to the back end of the season. I would put those two
absolutely
right at the top.
Absolutely. Like, there's a future there.
Watching Ernest Hausman, he looks incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go and say that he's Levante David.
No.
But to see someone go sideline to sideline, yeah. He is the closest Nebraska's scene.
He found it.
Since Levante.
He found his groove quick.
And he's a true freshman.
Yeah, he found his groove quick. Now, he struggled early.
And he's hitting.
You remember, though, against, for instance, North Dakota State, you wondered about Ernest Hausman.
Yeah.
But
it
he
came
found.
Quick with
yeah,
him.
He
it came real quick.
Yeah, something clicked with him. It clicked. That's what happens. And you often hear coaches say that. When it clicks with some guys, it really clicks.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a wrap here for this week's show. Once again, we'll have the Monday night show. I will be doing high school football. So Sip and Robin and Jim Rose will be on that with Jeff Cameron Monday night at 7:00 here on the Husker Online channel. So make sure you watch the Monday rundown show. And we will do a Husker Online show this week during the holiday week, as well as have a full show following Iowa, but we're going to do it as of now. Things can change, but we're planning on Saturday morning for a live show here. So thank you again to Trey Yannity, our producer on the back end. Thank you to all of our subscribers, viewers here on the YouTube channel. If you're not a subscriber, please like, subscribe, follow our page here, not only on the YouTube channel, but also on the Husker Online podcast channel. We will put this video up on the podcast channel later tonight.
Look at that. Was that Laporta? No, that's Lackey.